Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday morning and welcome to SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. You are with your regular hosts, Nick Angus and Hannah Schauder.
Good morning, everybody. We hope you're having a lovely morning. This is the show where we talk all things entertainment, including movies, TV shows and musicals slash plays. So we are in our third season at the moment. This is episode...
Seven. Yeah, we're already halfway through. We'll be having a 12-episode season this season. We've explored some really cool genres so far. Themes, concepts, ideas. We've kind of gone a little bit different to your normal hardcore genres. And
absolutely,
we've gone for some questions, what went wrong, as well as some really intense themes such as power and corruption.
Yeah, so today we're taking a step back, I feel, from the really heavy...
We're going a bit more lighthearted today.
More relaxed. We're going with a genre which is
musicals.
This, I feel like, it's the kind of genre you wouldn't really expect us to talk about it.
Yeah, and I think because it practically makes up one of our actual segments, the musical stage segment, it's quite an odd thing to do. But what we're going to really be exploring today is how has musical been translated to film and TV, the impact this has had on the popular networks and popular audiences, and how it has become so renowned to this day. Also looking at two musicals about a musical. So we're really exploring how the musical has kind of shaped other entertainment areas.
Absolutely. So before we get into the show, let's do a little quick check-in. Nick, did you see... Let's have a quick pop-in. Nick, did you see any movies, TV shows, musicals this week?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to see another Oscar-winning film, one that Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. So it was a really nice, it was a very interesting film. It focuses on a love story, I believe, in the late 1900s America. And it's really, really nice to just, it's a really nice story. It looks at a lot of, interesting themes, concepts, ideas. I remember talking last week about Green Book and I said, I could talk on and on and on about the plot and the synopsis and what I loved. But I think for this film, the things that stood out for me were its soundtrack. Really, really prominent soundtrack. And I'm almost surprised that it didn't win an Oscar for its soundtrack. It really kind of carried the movie in a really moving way.
Mm.
And also the acting was really raw and really original. I think it's one of those storylines that... Obviously, there is a kind of a thing that drives the story, but even just there's a lot of dialogue, there's a lot of conversation, and even just that is enough to immerse yourself in. Nothing's rushed. Everything's very quite slow, but it's slow in a way that is actually, you can really appreciate it.
Mm.
You can appreciate it for how it's kind of dealing with, the concepts in a really, lengthened out way, because it just helps you immerse yourself more. So, as
very
I said,
nice.
I could really, go into every detail, but I think, the two things I really liked about this film were its soundtrack, which really carried the film in a really kind of moving way, and also just how it kind of chose to be like, let's just slow down a little bit.
Let's take
this story and tell it in a really, powerful way.
That's great. We love that.
How about you, Hannah? Did you manage to see any films or other entertainment things this week?
Nothing new, but I actually did rewatch a movie last night that I would highly recommend. It's one of my favorites. It's Blades of Glory.
Oh, good film.
And it's a Will Ferrell film.
Yes.
So if you're Will Ferrell, and if you don't like him, I get that.
Yeah.
But if you are going to watch any movie that has him in it, definitely watch this. It's just one of those just hilarious comedies where you really don't have to emotionally invest in the movie too much, which is and quite refreshing from a lot of the heavy stuff that we talk about at the moment.
Mm.
Pretty much about these two famous figure skaters that end up getting banned from competing, and so they decide to join forces and put aside their differences. It's a very cute cliche movie, but it's very funny and it's a lot of fun. There's definitely not much I can say about it that, the movie can't say for itself.
Exactly. And it's always good to have a movie out there that you can just continue watching. I find that a lot with, rom-coms as well. You can just keep coming back to watch them. You know the jokes, you know the plot synopsis, you know what's going to happen next. But there's something about the comedy that makes you keep on laughing and keeps on, encouraging you to come back every single time and continue watching, like Love Actually.
Absolutely. So we're going to get into a very quick song break before we get started. We're going to be talking about La La Land today as one of our movies, so we're going to play a song from that. This is Another Day from Song. That Another Day of Sun. Of Song. It should be, though. But this is SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. And And welcome back to SASS, the Screen Erin Stage Show, where we look at all things entertainment with your regular hosts, Hannah Schauder and Nick Angus. Today, we are looking at the theme of musicals, or the musical genre. And we're actually quite excited. Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get into this theme.
Yeah, it's going to be very vibrant, very bold. And yeah. I think we love our musicals, Hannah and I. So I think we're going to really, really love this one today.
And Nick made a really good point during the song break, which is we don't actually get that many musical movies, or really musical anything that's not a musical.
And that's going to be our first segment today, as usual, the film segment. So we're really going to be exploring the prominence that these musical films have when they're released so rarely during the year.
Absolutely. So we're going to be looking at two films, you know, same genre, but totally different. Totally different stories, really. So we're going to be looking at La La Land, which is a drama romance that was released at the end of 2016, and The Greatest Showman, which was released, let's fact check this, in December of 2017.
So it's interesting because I always remember them being very close to each other for some reason, but in fact, they were actually released 1 year apart from each other.
I just can't get over that La La Land was released at the end of 2016. That's really, like, quite a while ago.
And I think this is going to be an interesting point to raise, the prominence of musical films. We've talked about A Star Is Born. That is still out in cinemas today, and it is still having various screenings per day, per cinema. That was released last year, near the end of last year,
and it's still
going today. So
that is insane.
I even think I may have seen La La Land into 2017, and that's why I thought they were so close, because then I saw The Greatest Showman when it first came out, so they were very close to each other.
No, and The Greatest Showman was released on the 26th of December.
Exactly right.
In 2017. So it was playing for a lot of early 2018. Very interesting timing, actually, to be releasing movies at the end of the year.
Yeah, it seems kind of like the thing to do with musical films, to release them later in the year.
Yeah, so that it goes over that New Year period.
Yeah, I think it is. Because, you know, you go into January, by that time, people will be talking about this film, getting the hype up. So I think to have that period of holidays over January, that's where the musical, you know, production teams are like, we need it to be prominent by that stage. We're going to be talking about hype today, which will be really, really cool, about the hype about these films. So should we delve into La La Land first?
Absolutely. So, La La Land, Sebastian and Mia are drawn together by their common desire to do what they love. But as success mounts, they are faced with decisions that begin to fray the fragile fabric of their love affair. And the dreams they work so hard to maintain in each other threaten to rip them apart. Dun, dun, dun.
Always so dramatic, these
are. Very dramatic, these plot lines. Very much so. So, I remember La La Land coming out, and it was, you know, I mean, this trend seems to happen now with every musical movie that comes out, especially with A Star Is Born recently, when, you know, there's a massive, massive build-up for months and months, and then a massive release, and everybody's talking about it, and, oh, my God, have you seen it? I love it. And this is no different. I think this is the first I saw of it really, like, experiencing this hype where everyone was like, have you seen La La Land?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you've got to go see it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those things. Had a very long run in cinemas.
Yes.
Got very good ratings, 93% on Metacritic and 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. It grossed $446 million just in the US alone. $446 million in the US alone.
Big profit for just one country alone.
That's right, big SAS profit. So this movie was, you know, much like, you know, a big success, big hype.
Yes.
Do we think we lived so I think Nick and I have a bit of SAS for this show.
Look, I think one thing we've got to address first is that La La Land really pushed the boundaries for a musical film. When we think of musical, we think bold, we think vibrant, we think, you know, big numbers about, you know, we think of flash mobs, you know, people
very
just dancing and singing in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And so the first two scenes of La La Land, we get this. We get our expectations, you know, achieved, and we have this, you know, very unrealistic and almost surreal kind of, you know, dancing scene that would not normally happen.
That's
you don't
right.
just go out into the middle of the highway and start dancing.
Yes, for context, the song that we just played, Another Day of Sass, why am I getting... Another Day of Sass. Another Day of Sun is the opening song for the movie. And yeah, exactly like you said, these people are in the middle of a blocked highway and all of a sudden they're out of their cars and dancing. It's a whole thing.
But then the thing that really kind of changes up is that the rest of the film, it becomes much more realistic. We look at it very much, you know, natural and realistic romantic comedy. But the way it's portrayed, how the storyline progresses, it very much shifts to being a bit more realistic. And this is unexpected for a musical. You know, when we think of musical, we obviously think of storylines that we can somewhat believe.
Yes.
But this really kind of challenged that and said, let's make this actually really prominent and, you know, relatable today to today's society.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely shows that cultural shift almost, you know, where we were really fixated on movies based on musicals. You know, you got Hairspray and Chicago, Strictly Ballroom. But now we're transitioning more into, oh, well, it's a regular movie, but with music.
Yes.
And you have that with La La Land, The Greatest Showman, A Star Is Born, you know, where it's, oh, it's a normal storyline.
And what this caused, unfortunately, a little bit of a sass alert now, this was for me, I think Hannah found it as well, is that due to kind of this really abrupt shift in kind of the music, how they, you know, really adapted the musical genre to become a little bit more streamlined with your, you know, everyday rom-coms and real life, you know, dramas. I think a lot of people lost a bit of interest and they got a little bit bored. I did, unfortunately. I know it really pushed the emotional impact on audiences, and I can see where it did that. But at the same time, I just was, you know, waiting for bigger numbers, you know, bigger outfits, bigger costumes, bigger locations. And unfortunately, it kind of went the other way. I totally understand why it did. I totally understand where I was going there. But unfortunately, because you're so used to the musical genre and what it exhibits, and how, you know, bold it has been over the years. You were kind of expecting and hoping for that. And so as a result of that, there was a little bit of boredom. This was a shame because I think going back to the hype, there was a lot of hype around this film, and I don't think that helped either.
That's
when
right.
a film's, you know, built up, you go in saying, okay, this is going to be amazing. And then to walk out and be like, okay, maybe it just missed the mark. It can actually seem really, really big because even if it just missed the mark, the gap between what you thought and the expectation can actually seem much bigger.
Yeah, I actually don't want to continue this conversation now until we've touched on The Greatest Showman. So let's go to a quick song break and we'll come back and compare. I mean, you know, I guess we'll kind of explore how, you know, maybe talk was cheap and we didn't quite get the thrill we wanted. So we're going to play
Segway
Cheap
time.
Thrills by Sia. I don't even know. We'll be back. This is the Screen Air and Stage Show. Bang, bang.
And that was Cheap Thrills by Sia. I hope you're having a bit of a bop of a Thursday morning with all these banger tunes. You're with Sass, the Screen Air and Stage Show, with your regular hosts, Nick Angus and Hannah Schauder. We are having a really, really cool morning so far, talking about the genre of musical, how it has been translated to the film and television segments, as well as how has it existed itself in its own segment of musical. A little bit of a, you know, mind twister there, but we'll actually flesh it out as we go along.
Absolutely. If you're only just tuning into the show now, we are currently in the middle of our screen segment, our movie segment, and we're looking at two very different, but I guess in a sense very similar movies. We're looking at La La Land and The Greatest Showman, and we were just saying how La La Land was very hyped up, and we weren't exactly sure what the movie was trying to be. So now we're going to touch on The Greatest Showman and start this bop of a discussion.
But before anything, a synopsis first. Inspired by the imagination of P.T. Barnum, The Greatest Showman is an original musical that celebrates the birth of show business and tells of a visionary who rose from nothing to create a spectacle that became a worldwide sensation. Now, this is obviously a very... Compared to La La Land, we're going to be doing a lot of comparison this morning. The Greatest Showman is very much your musical theatre, musical film, if that makes sense. It's very colourful. The costumes are vibrant. The songs are big and loud and voluptuous, let's say. So you really, really get that, you know, sense of musical in this musical film. In the background, you'll be hearing Come Alive, one of the songs from the musical film, which is an absolute bop and a half. There are a lot of songs you'll be hearing on the radio these days, which has actually been done in the reimagined album of The Greatest Showman.
So irritating.
What?
No, I'm throwing... Oh, no.
I'm throwing a bit of sass.
Yeah, I'm throwing out a bit of sass here. I think it's a really brilliant initiative to bring in pop stars to remake the songs, but I'm just hearing them every day now.
I know,
there's only so
like
many times
them.
I can hear Pink sing Rewrite the Stars until I'm just... Can't handle it anymore.
And it goes back to that idea of, you know, the popularity of musical films and the impact they have on our day-to-day life. On the radio, you just see them soar. Everyone knows Shallow. Everyone knows now Rewrite the Stars. Everyone knows these songs because they just had that huge effect. Anyway, let's delve into discussion about The Greatest Showman and how this dealt with the hype as well as being a musical film.
Yeah.
So to start off with, I think this film, what it excelled in really well, I personally enjoyed this more than La La Land, because I think not only did it live up to its expectation, but I think what it did was just give us what we were hoping for in it was very colourful, and the songs were really, really just powerful.
Very catchy.
Very catchy. And I think something about the storyline, like, yes, it may be considered a little bit cliche, but I think with the musical films, you can get away with it.
Mm.
I think, look, it's a really, really tricky discussion. Hannah and I were talking about in the ad break. It's really hard to compare these films. But
yes.
I think at the end of the day, what we came up with, we'll continue discussion, obviously, but I just want to bring this up, is that I think The Greatest Showman, it knows what it is. It's a musical film, and it runs with that. And it runs with a good storyline, a strong storyline, a fantastic cast.
And so even though it's not based on anything, it knows what it is.
Whereas La La Land, I think it got confused. It starts off with this very much.
It's trying to kind of figure it out.
It starts off with this very much musical-esque, you know, big, bold. I know I'm saying those words a lot, but that's how I look at musical theatre. And then it kind of went to this more, you know, A Star Is Born, let's make it more reality-based. And I think because of that, it lost audience members and it made a bit of confusion. So I think that's where we're comparing it, is that while The Greatest Showman really just chose its path and went down it, I think La La Land maybe tried to divert the path, go two different ways at the same time, which lost it.
But it's so hard to know, because at the same time with La La Land, was that an artistic decision?
Well, that's the thing.
To be unsure of what it is, because La La Land is, it does, you know, it does explore this contrast between this fantasy world where you can sing a song and dreams come true and everybody's happy, but then you're going to come back to the real world and it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Does it? And is it, you know, uncertainty, does it actually, is that meant to make a point?
And that's a really good point you raised, Hannah, because I definitely think it was a decision. I don't think they were like, oh, yeah, let's just do this. Now they'll somehow work. No, I 100% agree that this was an artistic decision.
You have these very interesting music numbers where all of a sudden they're like dancing in the sky and it's choreographed. And then all of a sudden you've got Emma Stone going for an audition.
Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, I think while I didn't enjoy the film as much as The Greatest Showman, I definitely do appreciate it still, because what it tried to do with its artistic direction is actually really, really cool, because it really tried to be different.
Yes.
But I just think it was because, you know, you weren't expecting it, and because the hype was so real, you went in for this, you know, your musical film, and you were kind of given half of that. And I think that's where you kind of said, okay, expectations now lowered, therefore the film wasn't as great, and because of that, they kind of combined together, and you're like, a bit of a jarring feeling.
I'm also going to do a bit of nitpicky sass as well. I know it's not so relevant to the discussion, but I want to point it out. Choice of cast as well is really important.
It's really important, yeah.
It's really important for these kinds of things. If you're not a musical sort of actor, it's very difficult. It's one of the reasons why The Greatest Showman totally nailed it. You have Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman, we're talking, you know, Les Miserables, you know, which is also a musical movie, though that is literally a musical. But people already understood the hype from that movie, and Hugh Jackman just nailing it.
Exactly right, yes.
And so as soon as they heard, like, oh, he's going to be The Greatest Showman, oh, yeah, it's Hugh Jackman, he's going to nail it. And of course he does. So, and then you've also got other cast members like Zac Efron, who was in High School Musical. You've got Zendaya, who's a singer already and was in lots of Nickelodeon shows where she was singing. So you already have quite a substantial musical-based cast.
Exactly.
And then you look at La La Land and you've got Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And you're like,
And this is another interesting thing. God, we were saying in the ad break we could do the whole show on these two films.
We so could.
I think there's so much to explore.
It's so interesting.
Maybe that brings about a new sort of hype. Oh, my God, these people can sing. I'm going to go see the film. So, again, it's an artistic decision, but whether it, you know, whether it jars the film in that these people we haven't seen sing before, you know, obviously how they're going to go, like whether it sparks intrigue or sparks confusion, that's the kind of thing. And I think you're really right. With musical films, the cast is really important because if, you know, they need to be good, not putting pressure on them, but they need to be good from the start so you can invest in their character.
That's right.
You know, invest in their emotions.
That's right. I mean, look, you know, Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born, there weren't too many surprises there. She's a singer. Okay, cool. It's going to be good singing. You had Bradley Cooper, who was an actor, but then, you know, he actually does step up to the plate and is also a very good performer. And then you have this with La La Land, where two non-singing actors. And I'm going to pull out some major sass and say that I don't think that they were the best singers. I don't think they were the best choice for this kind of movie. Even though this movie was meant to be more of a rom-com with music, you still got to pick good singers.
Yeah.
And I think the songs are absolutely beautiful from the movie. I think they're
absolutely. Yeah.
I absolutely love them. But I think deep down, I know that maybe they could have found better singers for it.
So maybe it's, at the end of the day, it's about getting a balance. Obviously, with The Greatest Showman, we know that there are musical people in there before we've seen the film. With A Star Is Born, we know Lady Gaga's there. With this one, we didn't really know that any of these people could sing. And so maybe it's about saying, I think at least having one person in there, you know, from musical experience, they have musical experience, they have musical background, to just kind of level out emotions and know that, okay, we've kind of got that influence there. Look, it's a really, really interesting debate. We could go on for it for hours, but I think, yeah, at the end of the day, it just comes down to saying, you know, expectations. Where do they sit before seeing these films, and where do you want them to go? Do you want your full-on musical like we have in The Greatest Showman that explores this storyline, goes with it with bold songs and bold direction, or do you want something that takes artistic direction like La La Land that experiments with both real life, with musical, with drama, with romance, and entwines it all in a bit of a rom-com musical?
Yes.
It depends on
you. Very tricky. I mean, what do you think? Head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/sass. Let us know what you think, because we really could go on about this. It's a really interesting one. But look, in the meantime, we're going to go to a quick song break, and we're going to have that.
Oh, what's happening now?
We're going to have
I'm sorry. Can you just repeat that one, please, Anna?
We're going to have a good time. Yeah. Oh, I gave it a go. I don't know. We'll be right back. This is Screen Aaron Stage Show. Havana, oh, nana. And welcome back to Sass, the Screen Aaron Stage Show, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on Sin 90.7 with your regular hosts, Hannah Shouter and Nick Angus. Today we are looking at the theme of musicals, the genre. What's happening with
Bonnet and Tess? We've just had a heated, sassy debate about
pretty hefty
in the film segment, and we've talked about La La Land and The Greatest Showman, how they compare as well as how they manifest separately as musical films. There's a lot to catch up on there, so if you've missed this show, we'll be giving details at the end of the show about how you can catch up on this episode. Also, as Hannah said before the song break, please feel free to send any of your questions, thoughts, and ideas to all our socials, facebook.com/sass. Otherwise, Instagram at sass_show, because we would love to hear from you. And as we know, hearing from you makes discussion so much more interesting and in-depth.
Absolutely. So we are heading over to our air segment, which is our television segment, and we're going to be looking at Glee. Now, this has been one of those pieces of entertainment where we've tried to find a theme for it, because it is a show worth talking about, especially on Sass. And we're like, ooh, what are we going to do? But now I think we've finally found the theme to suit it. So let's head straight into some background. Glee is an American musical comedy drama television series that aired on the Fox Network in the United States from May 19, 2009 to 2015. It focuses on the fictitious William McKinley High School Glee Club, The New Directions, which competes on the show choir competition circuit while its disparate members deal with social issues, especially regarding sexuality, race, relationships, and teamwork. So that's a pretty like basic synopsis.
But I think for TV series anyway, you know, you can't delve too much much is covered over a season.
And this is a massive show that there were 6 very full seasons, just chock-a-block with characters and storylines. And, you know, because the basic storyline is, oh, it's a Glee Club. But when you really delve into it, all the different members of the Glee Club, how they interact, the school itself, the other people in the school that aren't even in the Glee Club.
Yeah.
Very, very hefty. Now, I know Nick and I were a little bit different. We were actually discussing it yesterday.
Yeah, we were.
I loved Glee. When I was younger, I was never really into the first season. I kind of skipped over that bit and went straight to second. But I just loved it for years. And my friends and I remember we had like a finale viewing party where we just sat on the couch and cried because the show ended. So I loved the show, but I couldn't watch it now.
Interesting you say that, because I'm the reverse. And I think the reason, so when I was younger, when this was obviously on TV, I did not watch it. And I think the main reason, it comes back to that hype and that expectation. Everyone was talking about Glee. Glee was on, you know, you went to school and people were like, have you watched the latest episode? Have you watched the latest episode? And for some reason, this kind of hype around and keeping up with it, it turned me off a little bit. And I was kind of like, I'm not really interested. It's really interesting because we're going to be talking about the social influence of this TV series and how it really impacted, you know, the musical genre as well as what TV musical can be. But yeah, when I was young, I just never kind of really got into it because I could never couldn't really get around the hype, and I wasn't really too interested with musicals about TV at that stage. But see, now I actually would totally be okay to go back and watch a few episodes. I think for a bit of a gag, but also for, you know, a bit of fun. Like, I think it's obviously, it really excels as that, in that musical sense of being very colourful, very bold. And I think pairing it with the high school setting as well is quite nice, because it can, you know, while it may not be totally relatable, you can still, you know, pick out little things here and there. You're like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Well, it's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because I just want to reference our first segment really quick, La La Land and Greatest Showman. Mm. It almost kind of combines the two, because it's this very real setting.
Yes.
High school, American high school teenage drama.
Yeah.
But it's got the fun of being a musical.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going through a random, you know, just a normal episode where, you know, there's a bullying issue, for example, or there's a romance, and then all of a sudden they're singing Toxic by Britney Spears and, like, in a big, like, proper performance and costumes and everything. And then as soon as the song ends, it just cuts straight back to real life.
And so the funny thing is that this is almost contradicting our discussion at the start, because we were kind of saying La La Land couldn't quite figure out what type of film it was trying to be. So maybe you could argue with Glee, does it struggle with figuring out what TV series it tries to be?
Or
because it's so bold in both areas, does it say we're a split film?
I actually think Glee sort of redefines the genre. It becomes its own sort of subgenre of, you know, sort of drama musical, where it's very fully aware of the way it kind of breaks the fourth wall at times with its musical numbers while still being a normal comedy drama television show.
So maybe you could argue that La La Land kind of followed in its footsteps but just blurred the lines and was a little bit too hazy.
Yes, I think so.
We're getting clarity.
We do love a little bit of clarity. It's actually insane. I'm looking at these numbers here. 121 episodes and over 728 music performances. Mm-hmm. Over the 6 years that the show ran. Massive. And look, just, you know, quickly touching on the sort of the cultural influence
and
of this television.
And social influence,
And social influence. Because the show is so unique in terms of being able to redefine that sort of musical to teen genre hybrid, it was able to reach out to a massive audience, not just to, because it was sort of appropriate enough to get to tweens, you know, sort of kids age like 10, 11.
Yes.
But still have mature themes to go all the way up into mid-teens.
And that's what makes a TV series popular, I think, is that how it can stretch along a specific age group.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how it can reach, you know, as I said, the younger of the generation, but also the older of that generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's nice from that point of view, because it also takes you through very much cycle of life sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know, we don't have the same kids staying in that high school for the whole show. There's new kids and the ones that graduate end up going on to do real life things. And so you sort of follow these people, that very coming of age story.
Yeah.
You know, following the growth and following the journey, all while having really good music.
Yeah.
I must say, like, a lot of the covers that they did are just brilliant. You know, it was a really, really talented cast.
And even that's a social and cultural influence, is that even today, after this TV series has finished, we're still listening to their songs, their covers of songs. You know, popular ones like Thriller, popular ones like Valerie. We're hearing these songs on our Spotify, on our iTunes accounts today, even when the TV series is finished. And that's a huge social and cultural impact, more social impact, but it is absolutely huge. And I think it's nice to pinpoint that, because you don't often find a TV series or a film or even a musical that has such that long-lasting effect. With all this said, though, I think obviously Glee wasn't amazing. I think it still did have its flaws in some areas.
Oh, no, definitely. And there were seasons where the ratings just completely plummeted.
Yeah.
One of them, you know, one of the reasons being that one of the protagonists, Corey Monteith, who played the male lead, Finn, passed away in 2013, sort of a couple of years before the show ended. And there was a tribute episode called The Quarterback, in which the director announced that the sixth season would be the final one. I do think deep down, I know that the show, I think, probably stretched itself out longer than it needed to.
Yeah.
The first three seasons definitely nailed it. And then after the fourth, it started to drop. And so it kind of tries to scramble back a little bit in the final season to sort of find a nice way to end it off. So I definitely think it was dragged down.
Yes. Yeah.
But in a sense, for all, you know, for a good reason, because it had such a massive fandom.
That, I remember that happening. I remember like it becoming news and it was awful when that happened.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's another, you know, social influence about how it can affect society and also the cast. I think there was an episode which was in relation to that and you could just see the cast. They were actually, they weren't just acting, they were really, really emotional.
Oh, there are amazing videos and articles about the tribute episode where they did most of the shots in one take because the cast was so emotional about this death. A lot of them had to have like on-set counseling.
Yeah.
Just because it was all very, very real for them, which really, you know, kind of goes to show how powerful the cast was.
Absolutely.
But look, I think in saying all that, despite its drops and despite, you know, these deaths and everything, Glee has definitely established this new sort of subgenre of music and, you know, and it really goes to show, like, you can put it in things like television shows and make it popular.
Mm.
Which is really cool. We're going to take a quick break. I mean, look, I just can't fight this feeling to do another segue.
Oh, that was a good one.
Thank you.
That was a good
Thank you. We try. So we're going to do Can't Fight This Feeling, the Glee cast version, and we'll be right back. This is SASS, the Screen Air and Stage Show. And that was Can't Fight This Feeling by the Glee cast.
That was such a nice song. Oh, such an ending.
So nice, right? So dramatic. This is SASS, the Screen Air and Stage Show. We are here to talk about all things entertainment, including film, TV, and stage. I'm Hannah Shad. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Nick Angus, and we do this every Thursday morning right here on Sin 90.7. Today, we are looking at the genre of musicals and pretty much all different kinds of entertainment pieces that just chuck some music in there.
Just chuck some music in there.
Just chuck her in.
And what we've been looking at is how this theme is influenced, how it has changed over time, and how it has adapted over time. Just putting out the word adapted there, because we've got a new game segment coming up later in the show, which has the word adapt in it. So get your minds boggling, because that will be coming up very, very shortly.
And it's not Would You Rather.
Oh, that's okay, though. We might.
Would you rather?
It's not that.
It's not her.
But that might be coming back soon. And yeah, what we've been exploring today is how this idea of musical has been portrayed, how it has really been portrayed strongly and followed along this strong musical line in films such as The Greatest Showman, how it has really diverged and been and included both musical and everyday life in really prominent separate parts in Glee, and then how Glee has then gone on to influence films such as La La Land, but there it's been a little bit hazy.
Absolutely.
So it's been quite a, you know, pinpoint, you know, point that here, connect that here discussion, but I think we've kind of found some clarity.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's been great. So now we're going to go to our stage segment with two musicals today.
Now, I know what you're thinking. I know, Nick, this is like ridiculous. Like, why are you going to do a musical about a musical? Like, it's ridiculous. Wrong.
Bobble.
Oh, no. We're ready for this. So I've actually been really wanting to talk about this piece of entertainment for a while just because I don't think it's really that well known.
Mm.
And yet it fits this theme perfectly.
Yes, so it does.
It's a musical called City of Angels. It's a musical comedy with music by Cy Coleman, lyrics by David Zippel, and book by Larry Gelbart. The musical weaves together two plots, the real world of a writer trying to turn his book into a screenplay, and the real, being R-E-E-L, the real world of the fictional screenplay or the fictional film. The musical is a homage to the film Noah? Noir? N-O-I-R.
Noir.
The film noir genre of motion pictures that rose to prominence in the 1940s. So this is a very kind of break the fourth wall sort of musical where you're jumping between the real world, which is set in color. It's this guy trying to make a screenplay happen, and the storyline of the screenplay, which is in black and white, which is really, really cool. So you've literally got it on both sides of the stage, where you've got the real world and then you're jumping to the play and then you're kind of going back and forth.
And for the real world, it's very much got Shakespearean influences, that it's a play within a play.
Yes,
so very much. And so I think we say that a lot in these musicals.
A musical about a musical, pretty much.
Which is really, really cool to see. Shakespeare is living on.
We absolutely love that. So I got to see it a few years ago with my dad, and unfortunately, our seats were really bad, to the point that we actually couldn't really see the screenplay side of the stage. Oh. So you kind of had to, so it kind of got to a point where I was like, I didn't totally understand the beginning, mm-hmm. but then as soon as you got it, you were like, oh, okay. And it's quite a complicated storyline, which is why I'm glad that we read it beforehand, because it's a bit like intense. There's lots of different storylines happening about this writer and different characters in the real world that are also reflected in the screenplay.
Absolutely, yes.
So there's a whole lot. As of mid-2019, a film adaptation of City of Angels was actually headed towards the screen with Barry Levinson as director, so you can actually also watch it as a film, if you'd like to.
I think one point we're going to be bringing up with this discussion, as well as one question, is how did these musicals reflect the musical genre? I know this is a little bit of a double Dutch saying, but what we're looking at is, can a musical succeed in telling the story of a musical? We've seen a musical like Singing in the Rain, which actually focuses on a film. Whereas with City of Angels, as well as with another musical we're going to be talking about, The Producers, one question we're going to be asking is it too far-fetched to make a musical about a musical? Is that reflecting a lack of thought? Is that reflecting a lack of creativity? Or, on the flip side, is it actually the most, at the other end of the spectrum, in being really creative,
yes,
and really unique?
This would actually be a good time to reference a different musical as well that I mentioned yesterday. We're not going to focus on it too much, but I thought it might be good for a reference point, which is The Producers,
yes,
which is a much more well-known musical.
Yes.
And I'm gonna get up a very quick synopsis here.
And I think you're looking to find, you know, similarities and comparison between these two about whether they excel in portraying a musical story within a musical setting.
Yes, definitely. And The Producers is a musical sort of similar in that sense, where it's about these two guys that, you know, attempt to write this horrible musical that actually ends up being a success, so, which is really ironic. So, again, that's kind of – and The Producers is very successful. It's a very successful musical. City of Angels is much more low-scale. It had a revival in 2014, which was when I saw it, but it hasn't come back since, which I find to be really interesting. Like, I do think City of Angels has a really interesting storyline and that kind of take on those two worlds and that juxtaposition, and yet hasn't come back.
So I think we could come back to the question and say that I think this is a creative intent, and I think this is a creative path.
Yes.
I don't think it's out of laziness. I don't think it's out of, oh, a musical about a musical. I think it's actually, let's go for something that's a little bit surreal, a little bit absurd, a little bit of something that audiences wouldn't be expecting. And let's kind of really explore that kind of mindset and say, we're going to do a musical about a musical. And I think it is really creative, because it's literally about creating a musical kind of storyline within a musical setting. So it's about nailing all the musical components, but then making sure they relate to the actual storyline. I'm confusing myself as I say all this, but it really would be tricky, because the songs you include have to kind of have this musical S to them, but then they have to relate to the storyline, which is about a musical. It's quite...
Oops.
It's quite insane.
It's a lot. It's a big onion.
So I think it is very much a strength and a creative strength to be able to pull this off and to be able to do this.
I mean, could you argue that doing a musical about a musical is very break the fourth wall?
I think so. Probably. I think it really is. Yeah.
Probably. Actually, now that I think about it, we did actually touch on another play that kind of focused on this theme, the play that goes wrong.
Yes.
We discussed this in our What Went Wrong episode, where it is literally about this play and just how it completely falls apart and everything fails. And that's a great success. We just had Peter Pan Goes Wrong as well.
Yes.
When that is literally a play about a play.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's no different. I really do hope that another musical comes out of this kind of style. I think it's hilarious. And I think it's really cool to be a little bit more bold about it.
A little bit more unique and a little bit more different.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to, you know...
Oh, here we go. Everyone hold back. We've got a segue coming, so just, like, relax and listen.
Look, you know, that whole break the fourth wall, I feel it still, you know?
Oh. Hang on. Hold on to your horses.
Honestly, hold on to your uncle. We'll come back and we'll keep talking. This is the Screen Ahead Stage Show.
Now that was Feel It Still by Portugal the Man. We are having an absolute bop of a show today, and we're feeling it still. You're with Sass, the Screen Ant and Stage Show, with Nick Angus and Hannah Schauder. Today we've had a big episode where we've looked at the concept and idea of musical, how it has manifested in its own self within the musical stage, as well as how has it influenced in the film and TV sectors of the entertainment industry. We've looked at La La Land, The Greatest Showman, as well as Glee, and then just then before the ad break, City of Angels, as well as The Producers' Brief. briefly. But now it's that time of the show where we head into something very new and something very, very fresh. It is time for our new game segment.
To adapt or not to adapt. I like that.
So I don't think we're going to be able to remember that when we outro this game, but that's okay because we're going to delve into it right now. Pretty much this game is going to be looking at films, TV series, or plays, and whether we would adapt them or not adapt them into a musical, into the musical setting.
All right. You want to go first, Nick?
All righty. I've got one for you, Hannah. Now, these are two of your favourite films, I believe. One has already been brought up today, and one is an absolute bop and a half.
All right.
To adapt or not to adapt. So let's say you pick one that you would adapt and pick one that you wouldn't.
All right, done.
Love Actually or Blades of Glory?
No. No.
A tough decision. No, remember Love Actually or I Want for Christmas? It does exist. But Blades of Glory, could you really explore the ice skating phenomenon with musical?
It's true. I was going to say Blades of Glory, but I know Love Actually would actually be a really good...
Would actually? Wait, what?
Would Love Actually but be a really good musical because of all those different storylines?
Mm.
So you could like have a song for each storyline and boom, you've got a full musical. All right. That was pretty solid.
That was pretty solid.
Blades
okay.
I mean, Blades of Glory would be a fun one, but I don't think there's really enough meat to the bone for such a thing. All right.
I could just imagine. Couldn't you just imagine a huge, huge musical number with people just ice skating around the theater?
So cool. it's just awesome. Okay, I'm gonna be a little bit random with mine and pick two Pixar kids films.
Okay,
and would you adapt them?
Okay,
Toy Story. So to adapt or not to adapt, Toy Story or Monsters Inc.
Ooh.
Mm.
That's really interesting because we've obviously got Toy Story 5 coming out. So
four.
Four. My Only apologies. Four. I was thinking.
Don't
that.
Get ahead of yourself.
Well, maybe five will come out one day.
It's got to break the fourth.
That's and obviously the hype around that is very much where we had also Monsters University released in the past few years. Look, the one that jumped out with me, and I think I'm going to go with that, is Monsters Inc. For some reason, I think adapting that as a musical would kind of be cool. Like it's very obscure, and if you think about obscure musicals we've had, we've got Spider-Man, we've got Shrek. So I think doing Monsters Inc. would kind of be cool.
You know, there is Shrek the Musical.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, there has been Shrek the Musical. So I think I'm going to go Monsters Inc. for just a little bit more obscurity. But then you could argue that, you know, singing toys is obscure enough. But we're going to go Monsters for that one.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you could do a really cool musical number with all the different doors.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, we're going to see 138. C-138.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't planned, anyway.
That wasn't planned, but that was pretty solid.
All right, so now we'll end with one. We'll do a genre. So would you adapt this genre into a musical, to adapt or not to adapt?
All right, done.
So would you adapt the horror genre into a musical?
Oh.
Or would you adapt... I'm just having a bit of a think about this because I want to get this on point. Would you adapt a sci-fi genre into a musical?
Oh.
Because I think what you've also got to remember is that I think immediately you would think, oh, sci-fi, because we've had, you know, the one with the plant.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors, thank you. We've had that one, yeah, so that's a bit of a sci-fi.
Yeah, no, but we do have horror, like Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
And...
So they have existed. Which one would like to see more influenced, more adapted?
I'm just thinking of like a vampire musical where it's like da na 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 da, I want to suck your blood.
Oh no no no! I want to.
You know what? I'm actually going to say horror because I want to see how they would do it, like a horror musical.
Yeah,
I would love to see how they could try and turn a really terrifying storyline into something really cool.
Yes,
I think that would be really. That would be quite cool.
But we're going to leave you on that cliffhanger, and we have just played.
To adapt or not to adapt. I should have turned the mics down, but that's, you know what?
We hope you enjoyed that game segment. We'll be bringing you a new one next week, and we will also be bringing back
Would You Rather.
So stay tuned. We'll be back with that.
Nick, I think I like me better when I'm playing Would You Rather.
Oh,
we're going to come right back and do the outro, but for now, this is I Like Me Better. And welcome back to SASS, the Screen Erin Stage Show with Hannah Shadow, Nick Angus. This is where we talk all things entertainment. You'll have to forgive Nick. We were just looking at some Disney films.
We were just reliving the past.
We were. We got really excited because we saw the movie Emperor's New Groove. And if you haven't seen that movie, you have not lived.
Pull the lever.
I mean, pull the lever. Long lever.
Sorry.
I'm a llama. No, yes. I mean, if you need some back, you know, it's about an emperor that gets turned into a llama. And that's all you need
to
know.
It's pretty cool. It's a bump of a ride.
It's an absolute ride now. But for now, we are going to be wrapping up the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. Today, we looked at the genre of musicals in the entertainment industry. So we looked at La La Land and The Greatest Showman, how the hype can affect audience reception. We looked at Glee and sort of redefining the genre. And we also looked at City of Angels and how, you know, you can delve a little bit deeper into breaking the fourth wall with that.
With a touch on the producers as well.
Absolutely. So we've had an absolutely great discussion today. And there's still more to come.
There's still more to come. As you saw from our game segment, to adapt or not to adapt, we're going to be introducing plenty more game segments in the coming weeks. We've also got some guests lined up for the next upcoming weeks, which is really, really exciting. Anyone out there that would love to be a part of the show, please get in contact with us because, as we've said numerous times, having your interaction and having your participation, just we love it and it makes our discussion so much more interesting to just get another voice on. So if you'd like to be on the show, be a part of the show, be a part of the content for the show, please get in touch via all our socials, facebook.com/sass, as well as sass_show for Instagram.
Absolutely. And if you would like to check out any of our previous shows that we upload in podcast form, you can check them out on omnistudio.com/sass. Please be sure to download them so that we know that you're listening. And if you need something a little bit more accessible, you can also find our episodes on Spotify. Yes. But until then, have a wonderful week and be sure to keep up with your Screen Erin Stage. In other words, Nick.
Stay sassy. I was just thinking, Hannah, let's do a bit of a musical outro for the Stay Sassy. Ooh. And then we'll go to a song break. So we'll do a bit of like if to adapt or not to adapt. So.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
We'll both through it because I'm not singing by myself.
But it's like, okay. In other words, Nick, stay sassy. I think we'll work on it.
We'll work on that. Maybe that didn't work, so we'll add that to the things that sass gone wrong because that went a little bit wrong.
It did go a little bit wrong, but we will see you all next week. Have a good one.
See ya.